seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're in for a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. So excited to be back with you on the afternoon drive. Took a little vacation, recharged the batteries, took all last week off. Tell you, it was somewhat refreshing to get to watch sports as a fan. And as bizarre as it sounds, I don't get to do that very often. You know, you have to analyze things. You have to take notes. I didn't have to do that one time last week. It was somewhat refreshing. But it was a very interesting week all the way around. I mean, in the NFL, if we're talking Julio Jones getting dealt from Atlanta to Tennessee, that's a big deal. The NBA playoffs, we will have a new NBA champ as the Lakers go down in six games to the Phoenix Suns. I was gone through this whole deal. Same with the Jazz topping the Grizzlies in five, but I told you not to worry about that series. Memphis goes up 1-0. They steal home court advantage. There was no Donovan Mitchell in game one, and I knew that Utah would ultimately win that series in five. Overwhelmingly better than Memphis. And then we had the really weird Clipper-Maverick series. And this was the one that surprised me most because I thought going into the postseason, the Clippers were the team that I worried about the most in the Western Conference. I thought they were playing great basketball, didn't agree with the tanking at the end of the regular season, but there's not a deeper team of the West. May not be a deeper team in the league. And they drop games one and two at home, and they're down 3-1. They figure out a way to come back. They get a win, and they survive the onslaught from Luka Doncic, and pretty much rendered Kristaps Porzingis useless throughout that entire series. And so now it's Utah and the Clippers. And I don't know that it's an ideal matchup for the Jazz, especially with the news that Mike Conley is going to be battling a hamstring injury throughout. It's going to be throughout the remainder of the playoffs. Forget about game one, game two. There's just simply not enough time off. And you can't afford time off to get Conley back to 100%, hamstring injuries linger. And so I believe it's something that Conley and the Jazz are going to have to deal with throughout the entirety of the playoffs. And that does worry me a little bit in this series. So we will talk about the Jazz and Clippers. In fact, we're going to spend all next segment previewing that series. Game one is not until tomorrow, but we can talk about the Jazz and some of the adjustments that the Clippers made in the series against the Mavericks. And I'll tell you, Tyronn Lue, who I've never been a big fan of, but I was impressed with the adjustments that he made in this series, going to the smaller lineup and really just changing the way Dallas had to play defensively. It opened things up, and the Clippers found a way to get a win. So we'll talk about that next segment here on Drive Time Sports, and we'll also talk about the untimely demise of this Laker team. At the beginning of the year, I picked the Lakers and the 76ers in the NBA Finals. That was my pick at the beginning of the year. Philly looks good in the East. Their only hurdle is going to be Brooklyn. But what happened in L.A.? I think it's simple. Injuries. It's quite simple. And anytime a superstar, especially one as divisive and as controversial as LeBron, struggles in the postseason, the hyperbole runs rampant. This is a knock on his legacy. Oh, that's ridiculous. It's not a knock on his legacy. This guy's played in the NBA for 18 years. So we'll talk about the Lakers a little bit later on in the show as well. Outside of that, again, I want to touch on the Julio Jones Tennessee Titans deal. This is phenomenal news if you're a Titans fan. And I thought that really the Falcons got nothing in return for Julio Jones. It was kind of shocking. All these teams were in the running for Julio. We heard all these teams that would try to make a play. And it appeared that the Falcons would get a one for Julio. They didn't get a one for him. Top pick coming back in return for a future Hall of Famer is a two. So why weren't other teams in on this? And what does it do for the Titans? That's a team that still has problems defensively. But when you look at the offensive side of the ball, this team is loaded. A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. You got that Derrick Henry guy in the backfield. Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards and faced more 8-man boxes than any other running back in the NFL. How do you fix that? You put Julio on the outside. This is going to be a very fun Tennessee offense. And I ultimately think that the power offensively can mask some of the deficiencies that they'll have on the defensive side of the ball. So those are the main stories that I want to touch on today's edition of Drive Time Sports, as we're back with the live and current shows here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Let's look at the national headlines as far as today is concerned. And Alabama locks up Nick Saban. They give him a new deal that's going to keep him as the head coach through 2028. Now, the new agreement's going to extend his contract by 3 seasons. So it's 8 years now. So Saban is set to make $8.4 million this coming season. His new deal is going to include annual increases in salary that would take his average annual salary to more than $10 million over the life of the contract. And as part of the new deal, he will receive a contract completion benefit of $800,000 at the end of 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025. Arguably the greatest college football coach of all time. And in fact, you may be able to just remove arguably from it. I do believe he's the greatest college football coach of all time. Been at Alabama for 15 seasons. He's won 3 of the past 6 national championships. And also won one at LSU, which you can't forget. So he's got 7 national titles, most in college football history. And those aren't disputable. You know, when you talk about some of the greatest college football coaches of all time, you look at disputed national championships. He's in an era where Alabama and LSU were the undisputed national champions. There's something to be said for that. Now, as far as what this contract does in Saban's age, I forget how old he is. He's going to be 70 in October. Apparently, retirement hasn't even crossed his mind. But by looking at this deal, we are going to see a 77-year-old Nick Saban on the sidelines. I find that very hard to believe. This does ensure that he'll coach nowhere else but Alabama from here on out. You know, when you go over the logistics of this, it's a no-brainer for Bama, right? You know what his record is at Alabama? 170-23. 6 national championships, and Alabama's gone 21-2 against top 10 opponents, and they've been ranked number 1 of the AP for at least 1 week for 13 straight years. It's incredible when you look at what this guy has accomplished. And let me take it one step further, because I know that there are a lot of people that do not like Nick Saban. You don't like his personality, you don't like the way he handles himself on the sidelines, that's fine, whatever it may be. Maybe you don't like the fact that this guy wins and wins and wins, I get it. Since arriving in Tuscaloosa, he's raised over $10 million for charity causes as well through the Nick's Kids Foundation. And I don't think that you can overlook that. I mean, it's easy to, because his accomplishments as a football coach are incredible. He's 59-5 against SEC opponents. They haven't lost to a team outside of the AP poll since his first season. I mean, those are incredible statistics. But when you look at what he has done for humanity in general, he helped rebuild a total of 13 homes back in 2011 with the tornado. So, you know, a lot of people have different feelings towards Nick Saban. I'm a Saban fan. I appreciate what he has done. And I'm telling you, we will never see another run like this in college football history. We just won't. I mean, it's unprecedented. Let's take a look at the schedule. Again, we were talking NBA playoffs. Only 2 games on tap tonight. Game 2 between the Bucks and the Nets. No James Harden in this one, as he has re-aggravated a hamstring issue similar to what Mike Conley is dealing with. No Harden. Brooklyn up 1-0 in this series. And then game 1 tonight between Denver and Phoenix. Start time for that game is set for 8 p.m. Major League Baseball, it's an extremely short slate of games today. We only have 3. We have 1 right now in the 3rd inning. Boston up 1-0 on the Marlins. And then coming up at 7:30 tonight, Royals at Angels. And then the Cubs will take on the San Diego Padres, who are in second place in the NL West behind the San Francisco Giants. That's it. Three baseball games. Nothing more today as far as MLB is concerned. We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. We will preview the Jazz and the Clippers. That's coming up next right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll it. Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my. Watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're going to talk more NBA basketball here on Drive Time Sports. It's an exciting time to be a Utah Jazz fan. Tomorrow, it's the Western Conference semifinals. The Utah Jazz will take on the Los Angeles Clippers. That's a well-battled Los Angeles Clippers squad. Took them 7 games to get past the Dallas Mavericks. They did battle back from a 2-0 deficit after losing the first 2 games at home. What's left in the tank for the Clippers? Tomorrow night, Game 1, Vivint Smart Home Arena. 8 o'clock tip-off, live coverage right here on KOAL. As David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call. We'll talk about this series and more right now with our next guest. We have Tom Perkins, independent NBA scout, and also the founder of HoopCityNews.com, joining us on the phone. Tom, always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again.
I'm ready to go. I know you just got off vacation, a very well-deserved vacation, because you're all over the map in Utah. And so I'm glad you got some family time in there.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. And had an opportunity to watch some NBA basketball in the process at night and just watch as a fan. It was kind of refreshing in a sense. And Tom, that kind of leads us to where we're sitting right now. I mean, we have two teams coming in on opposite ends of the spectrum. Gentlemen sweep for the Utah Jazz. They drop game one without Donovan Mitchell. Memphis did give Utah some fits from time to time. I know it's a 5-game series, but Memphis made Utah earn it. And then you look at the Clippers, they had to earn it. They're down 2-0 going on the road. They come back, they win in 7 games. And so this is a very fun series. I don't know that it's a great matchup for Utah. It doesn't mean that I don't think Utah can win this series. But going back to some conversations you and I had at the end of the regular season, both of us were very high on the Clippers, the way the Clippers were playing. They pushed the right buttons at the trade deadline. DeMarcus Cousins had come in and played some quality minutes. They added Rajon Rondo. I felt like this was the deepest team of the Western Conference. And then we saw the Clippers tank to purposely avoid, I guess, Denver, maybe a second-round matchup with the Lakers or the Suns. So the Clippers chose the 4 seed, takes them 7 games to get past Dallas. Now they get the team with the best record in the NBA in Utah.
Right. And like we've said before, that there's a health issue. With the rest of this playoff, there are health issues with every team in regards to playing at 100% or not. And if Conley plays, you know, at his strength, and Donovan Mitchell plays at his strength, it's going to go ahead and be a real, really good, clean series. It looks like the Clippers have found a little bit of a swag, a little bit of a style in regards to both George and Kawhi Leonard playing well, better than average. So if they can do that kind of thing, they could advance.
Yeah, again, as I mentioned, I don't think it is the best matchup for Utah for a couple of reasons. When we look at what the Jazz bring as far as versatility on the perimeter, on the offensive side of the ball, I love it. Donovan Mitchell, Bojan Bogdanović was played very, very well over the last couple of months. Jordan Clarkson, 6th man of the year. Joe Ingles, I mean, this guy has been so productive for the Jazz for so long. I love what the Jazz have on the perimeter. When I look at the remaining teams in the Western Conference, no one, and you know what, I could take this one step further. When I take a look at the remaining teams in the NBA playoffs in general, no one has the perimeter defense of the Los Angeles Clippers, and that is the matchup that is most intriguing to me. If Donovan gets hot, you have Kawhi Leonard. If Bojan gets hot, you have Paul George. No other team can say that. And so just looking from a matchup perspective alone of the backcourt, this is fascinating.
Yeah, without a doubt, because, you know, Kawhi and Paul George can play both ends of the court. And they can switch off wherever they need to. You know, the interesting thing about the Clippers, they don't really depend that much on switching. They depend on guys staying with their man, staying in front of their man. And that's the way more and more teams can win, I think, in the future. You got to not rely so much on switching and double teaming. Maybe now and then you've got to show that, but not for a long extended period of time. But you've got these very key players, and if they play up to their, it's almost like this here. If the players that the Jazz have, especially the key players, you know who they are: Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson, Bogdanovich, Mike Conley. Of course, Rudy Gobert, nobody ever wants to talk about him. And even a guy like Joe Ingles, if they play up to their potential and the Clippers play up to their potential, I think both teams are going to win. I think both teams are going to win this series. But I would probably have to give the edge to the Clippers if both teams play up to their potential.
I would agree with that, just based on the fact that the Clippers are so much deeper than any team that they're going to face from here on out. I mean, really, this is a team that can go 10-11 deep, and I'm not a huge Tyronn Lue fan, but I thought he really managed the series against Dallas very well, considering that this team was down 2-0 and going on the road for games 3 and 4. He managed this series very, very well. With that being said, the biggest concern I have, if I'm a Jazz fan, is the health of Mike Conley, because he was so good in that series against Memphis. 17 points, 8 assists, shot 54% from downtown. The hamstring issue is a problem. And if you go back and you look at the Clipper-Maverick series, you and I talked about this, Luka Doncic was a one-man wrecking crew. And it wasn't just Luka's ability to hit the outside shot, which he did at such an alarmingly high rate. He was able to get to the basket. So the penetration ability, the court leadership in general of Mike Conley is something that cannot be replaced in this series. And Tom, if you're going to tell me that we're not going to see Mike Conley at a high level in this series, I cannot logically pick Utah to win. I think that Mike Conley is that important.
I think you're right. I think you're totally right about that, because he's got to be somewhere around 90-95% in regards to his health. And if he's not, it's going to be really difficult for them, because of the fact that that position, Conley's point guard position, is very, very critical to beating the Clippers. If you got a good point guard, like, for example, Luka Doncic, who's like a three, but he's a point guard three, or like a small forward point guard, he can cause a lot of damage with his penetration and his outside shooting. And one last thing about the Mavericks is, it's really sad to see Luka lose, because he was a one-man team at this time. And he got zero help from most people. He got a little bit of help here and there, but from, like, the main guy, which is Porzingis, he was of no help to Luka. And I would guess that he's going to be traded in the offseason.
Again, our guest right now, Tom Perkins of HoopCityNews.com, as we talk Jazz Clippers. Tom, with you scouting out these series, I want to go back to what the Clippers did against Dallas in this series. Midway through, I was talking about the way that Tyronn Lue kind of managed this series. He decides to switch the lineup, and it's really small ball, really. I mean, it's a small lineup, because that gave them their best opportunity to defend Doncic. And when I look at this matchup, it seems to me that the Clippers would probably stick with that, because for as great as Rudy Gobert is, and you cannot argue that this guy's not a top three center in the league. I think Rudy is phenomenal. But he's not a big that will punish you for putting smaller defenders on him in the post. He's not that kind of guy. So if the Clippers decide to go with the small lineup, it can really negate some of the biggest strengths that Utah has with Gobert in the paint, as one of the greatest defensive players that we've seen over the last 10-15 years in the league. That's a worry. If Conley's healthy, that's my other concern for Utah in this series. So, for someone that scouts this out, am I insane for even bringing that up, or is that a problem?
No, not at all. I think you're totally correct. If Conley is healthy and can play like he can play, it makes Rudy Gobert much more effective. If he can't, it makes Gobert decidedly less effective. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's all down to Conley. He's more of a key than even Donovan Mitchell. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, we know what he brings, and that's good. That's important. But the key is Conley, no doubt about it.
As far as Utah is concerned, if they win this series, I don't know who stops them in the West. I mean, I don't care if it's Phoenix. I don't care if it's Denver. If the Jazz win the series, they go to the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2007. They may go to the NBA Finals for the first time since Stockton and Malone, because I don't know that anyone else in the Western Conference can beat them. So I guess what I'm saying here, Tom, game one tomorrow night, in my mind, this is the Western Conference Finals, Utah and the Clippers.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that, because I do think that Denver is very formidable right now. And the Joker is hitting on all cylinders. So I think Denver... Right now, I give Denver the edge to going to the finals.
Really? Really?
Yep. Because they're the most consistent, and they have an answer for everything.
Again, Tom Perkins, our guest right now. Tom, we have to jump over and talk about the East for just a moment. We can talk James Harden. Ruled out of game two with hamstring tightness. These hamstring injuries, they're so difficult to really peg. I mean, Mike Conley's going through the same thing right now with the Jazz. It's a lingering issue. I don't know that these necessarily heal in a short period of time. We can talk about days off in between games. A hamstring's not going to heal in 24 to 48 hours. This could be a reoccurring problem for the Brooklyn Nets. Does this hamper their championship bid at all?
Well, without a doubt, you know, with Harden being out, that's not going to help them, that's for sure. On the other hand, who would have thought that Blake Griffin would return to All-Star play, which he did? I mean, you know, he just, in the past several years, he didn't even dunk the ball because he was so out of shape and uninterested. But now, the way he's playing now, that could pick up the slack big time for Harden. And I really believe that the two guys, Kyrie Irving and KD, Kevin Durant, is enough to go ahead and beat most people. I think certainly enough to beat the team that they're playing.
Milwaukee,
yeah. Yeah. So, I think it's going to hamper Brooklyn, no doubt about it. Harden not being in there. But if Blake Griffin can play somewhere near that, I think they're going to get by Milwaukee almost easily.
And it seems like we're on a collision course, and I thought this throughout most of the second half of the season. It's Brooklyn and Philadelphia and then everyone else in the Eastern Conference. And that's not a knock on Atlanta. I thought the Hawks have played admirable basketball. I mean, they gave Philly all they could handle in game one. They took care of the Knicks in very short order. You look on the flip side, Milwaukee was kind of lying in the weeds all season long. They looked great in the first round. But in the Eastern Conference, I don't see the parity that I see in the West. I see teams 1 and 2 being that much better than teams 3 through 10.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, 1 and 2, obviously Nets and Bucks, would be the 1 and 2, but I think there's more parity in the West by a long shot, and so the winner in the West going into the finals might be pretty beat up.
Could be, yeah. Could be.
It might be pretty beat up, whereas the easier conference, which is East, may not be that beat up.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. Again, our guest right now, Tom Perkins of HoopCityNews.com. Tom, always great content, I know, at HoopCityNews.com, and always a great conversation here on Drive Time Sports. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Well, you know, HoopCityNews.com, we write about everything current with the NBA, with basketball in general, and I just recently wrote an article on the Lakers' exit from the playoffs here. I wrote that on Friday. It's available for you to read. So be my guest. Come in there and take a look at it. You can go there to HoopCityNews.com and find the latest article, and you can read that. And it's Lakers relatively unceremoniously left not having won their last game, not advancing. But there were some real specific reasons why they didn't win that series. One main one, of course, is the fact that they didn't have AD at full strength. There's no doubt about it. You take that guy away, and now that's not the same Laker team.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same concept with Utah. Take Donovan Mitchell out of the equation, Utah loses game one to Memphis. And I tried to tell Jazz fans, don't panic, the series is over in five. Mitchell's going to be just fine. Utah knew that. There's not a team in the league outside of Brooklyn, because they have three superstars. You take away one of those 1-2 punches, it changes the dynamic completely. Maybe I could throw the Clippers in there if that it's that two punch. You remove Paul George from the equation because they are so deep. They're not a team in the league that can rebound from losing one of your 1-2 punches. It's just not the way the league is set up at this particular time.
Especially when one of those 1-2 punches is one of the best players in the entire league.
Correct.
Like Anthony Davis. I mean, you know, Donovan Mitchell is a very much of an all-star, but he's not necessarily in the top three or four of the league, whereas Anthony Davis was.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. So go check out the article at HoopCityNews.com. Again, Tom Perkins taking out the time to join us. Tom, always a pleasure. I appreciate the time, and I know we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. We're going to take another break here on Drive Time Sports. When we return, we'll talk about those Lakers. What happened in L.A.? Is the window completely closed? It's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
There was one topic in the national sports scene that was just blazing last week, and I didn't have an opportunity to talk about it being on vacation. That was the defending champs going down in six games. And you know, there are certain brands in American sports that people love to see fail. In the NFL, people get a kick out of the Dallas Cowboys not winning. People love it. They're tabbed America's team, most valuable sports franchise in the country. People get a kick out of it. They become jokes on social media. And you have, typically you have two train of thoughts when it comes to the Cowboys. You love them or hate them. Lakers are that way in the NBA. The Yankees are that way in Major League Baseball. So anytime one of those three franchises run into some turmoil, people love it. And it's amplified right now in the NBA because a lot of people hate LeBron James. He's one of the more polarizing yet divisive athletes that we have seen in quite some time. And if you've listened to this show over the last 11 years that we've been on, I'm not a LeBron guy. Never have been, never will be. I've been called an LA homer from time to time. But look, even being a quote LA homer, I don't buy into the LeBron James talk, the LeBron James love that he constantly gets. I believe I can look at a situation and dissect it honestly. And I think I've always been able to do that with LeBron. So I'll say that 70% of the sports world was thrilled when the Lakers went down in Game 6 to Phoenix. And look, tip your hat to the Suns, by the way, because Devin Booker was sensational. He came out and put the Lakers in a hole, a massive hole, immediately in Game 6. They were down 30 in that game, cut it to 9, had a chance to win it late, but they couldn't get over the hump because Phoenix just shot lights out, and the Lakers did not. I will say, as far as the Lakers are concerned, I don't believe their championship window was closed. If Anthony Davis stays healthy, that is a gentleman's sweep. They win that series in five. They're up 2-1. They have a double-digit lead in the second half of Game 4. They're about to go up 3-1. They're going to have three chances to close out a Phoenix Suns team with an injured Chris Paul. That series is over. Anthony Davis goes down, series completely changes. And I understand that injuries are part of the game, but you have to dissect things honestly. LA wins that series, probably in five, definitely in six, if AD does not go down. But it gave everyone an opportunity to pile it on LeBron James, which I don't believe is fair either. Like the guy or not, he is one of the greatest basketball players that we have ever seen. He's one of the greatest. I'm not saying he is the greatest. I'm saying he is one of the greatest. I don't particularly care to get into the debate of Where do you place him against Jordan or Kobe? I don't have him in my top four. I don't. Top five, sure. But everybody's top five looks different. When you look at the accomplishments on the court, this guy has done some absolutely incredible things. And the idea that we are seeing LeBron in the twilight of his career right now, that's not accurate either. Because this Laker team started off 21-6 before Davis went down. And then LeBron had to shoulder the load. And before he suffered an injury that he never recovered from in a high ankle sprain against Atlanta, he was the front runner for MVP. And one of the things that I'm guilty of this too, one of the things that we have in sports, it's short-term memory. What have you done for me lately? And I think you have to really assess the entire season of what we saw in LA. Yeah, we love the fact that LeBron's done, right? We love that. This guy has caused a lot of controversy over the last 10 years in the league. Be it the way he left Cleveland the first time, his remarks in Miami, everything off the court, you either love him or you hate him. He's that polarizing. So yeah, we love the fact that LeBron went home early. That's fine. You can hate the guy. But to tell me that LeBron is in the twilight, or that LeBron doesn't belong inside a top five of all time because he was ousted in the first round of the playoffs, is ridiculous. It's moronic. It's asinine all the way around. The guy's a four-time NBA champ, and I know he's had to pick his spots to get those four rings, but he's still a four-time NBA champ. It accounts for something. He has done things in this league that nobody else has ever accomplished. Look, I'm not a LeBron guy either. But I'm going to call it like I see it. One of the top five greatest basketball players of all time. I have no problem saying that. As far as the championship window with LA, look, this team encountered a lot of difficulties in the extended season from last year of winning an NBA championship, but also the shortened offseason. They had 70 days. And when you take a guy like Anthony Davis, who has a history of injuries to begin with, you know, he had the Achilles. Guy tried to play with a partially torn groin. He tried to, couldn't do it. And even if the Lakers find a way to force a Game 7 against Phoenix without Anthony Davis, they're done. And Tom Perkins and I, who we just had on the show last segment, we went back and forth on this because he wrote an article talking about LeBron and his legacy, and I hate that kind of talk. His legacy is what it is at this point. A first-round exit is not going to change my mind on that. Michael Jordan had three first-round exits. Kobe Bryant was tossed in the first round twice. It doesn't affect their legacy at all. It just doesn't. There's so many different nuances to an entire season that you have to consider. And the LeBron situation in LA this year was a worst-case scenario throughout. We saw what this team was capable of doing when healthy. They were just never healthy. And when you look at the way... Well, we'll look at the top three teams in the Western Conference. It's amazing to me that Denver is where they're at without Jamal Murray. It really is. You know, the Jazz... They ran into some issues with Donovan Mitchell later on in the year, but Utah had an opportunity to really expand early. They had an opportunity to create space between 1, 2, and 3 early on. And Phoenix made a push late in the season. They didn't have enough time to jump Utah for that one seed because the Jazz played lights-out basketball early on in the year. The Lakers did that too. Their injuries just came at a time where there wasn't enough space. 21-6, 27 games into a 72-game season, that's not enough time. Denver, same conversation with Jamal Murray. It was later on in the year. AD and LeBron got hurt at a time where teams were still close-knit in the Western Conference. So what I'm saying is, cheer that LeBron James is not going to win ring number five, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm fine with it. I don't want to see the guy get five rings. Let me just be honest, I'm not a LeBron guy. But don't question the guy's legacy because he went out in the first round. And don't tell me that he's at the end of his window, because he's not. He wasn't healthy at all in the postseason. He wasn't. You could tell by the way he was not attacking the basket. He just wasn't healthy. But this guy was the front runner for the MVP when he went down with a high ankle sprain, an injury that for someone who's 18 seasons into their NBA career, that can be downright devastating. He tried to play through it. Is his behavior afterwards, does it make it even that much more enjoyable that he's out? Yes, it does. But he was pulling those stunts in Cleveland. I remember in 2009 when the Magic ousted Cleveland. David Stern issued an apology on LeBron's behalf for not shaking hands with the Orlando Magic. So it's been his story forever. After the game, he gave Devin Booker his jersey and signed it and did all that ritual stuff that this new player empowerment movement is responsible for. The basis is here, the Lakers could not get healthy. Another avenue opens up for Utah to get out of the West because I hated the matchup for Utah if those two teams went toe-to-toe. And like I said last segment, if the Jazz can get past the Clippers, I think they go to the NBA Finals. So celebrate it, but don't diminish what LeBron James has accomplished because that's moronic. Guy's a top five player. His resume says so. But again, he's a polarizing player playing for a franchise that you either hate or love. There's no in between. So, you know, social media goes a little wild when something like getting ousted in the first round takes place. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. One more segment right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
What a segment here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll bring in Travis Anderson to close it out. Travis, two games in the NBA tonight. We get Milwaukee and Brooklyn. And we follow that up with Denver and Phoenix. That Nuggets-Suns game at 6 p.m. That's game one. Game two between the Bucks and the Nets. No James Harden in tonight's game. And we did touch on this a little earlier. The idea of Brooklyn not having James Harden. Is it a big deal to you in this series?
I don't think in this series because they still have Durant and they still have Kyrie, which, you know, James Harden really didn't play in game one and they took advantage of game one and went on to win. I think Brooklyn's going to win that series, but I think it's a long series. I don't think they need James Harden in that series.
I don't know. I don't think you want Blake Griffin playing 35 to 40 minutes.
It's not ideal.
No, it's not. It's not ideal at all. You know, you're right. Harden did not really play at all in that game, and they still found a way to get a victory. But it is different when you're preparing knowing that you don't have him, right? It is a little bit different. And so I look at what Milwaukee brings to the table. This is a team that went all in, and I think we've forgotten about that. They were the, I don't want to use the word afterthought, but we were talking about Brooklyn and Philly all year long in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee's the team that went out and got Jrue Holiday. They're the team that went out and got P.J. Tucker. This is a team that spent a lot of money on Chris Middleton. This is a team that went all in.
Right? Yeah, the winner of this series is going to the finals.
Because I still like Philly.
I like the winner of this series. I think it's going to be Brooklyn.
I still like Philly. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Brooklyn, but I really like that Philadelphia team. They are fun to watch. I've been high on them all year. They were my finals pick coming out of the East at the beginning of the season. I like them. Second game tonight, we get Denver-Phoenix. Curious to see how the Suns reply to getting a couple of days off. Denver, on the other hand, they had a fun series with Portland. Both of these teams took care of the other in six. As far as Denver ousting Portland, Phoenix getting past the Lakers. Tom Perkins loves the Denver Nuggets, thinks that this is a team that could go all the way. When you look at this series, who are you rolling with, Phoenix or Denver?
Not Phoenix. Phoenix is just a better team. Denver's missing a lot. What, three starters? We know Jamal Murray, but they're missing two other main cogs on that team. I like Phoenix. They're well-balanced. Chris Paul, Devin Booker. They shot the ball well against the Lakers. I think they're going to do the same against Denver. Phoenix is going to go to the Western Finals.
Chris Paul's health is going to rely... Phoenix is going to rely a lot on Chris Paul to get past this next round. I don't think there's any doubt. If Chris Paul's healthy, this is a team that can get past Denver. I expect them to get past the Nuggets. I really do. But the storylines will run rapid. It's Chris Paul. And really, he has some history with Mike Malone in the Nuggets backcourt as well. So I think there's some fun storylines brewing here. I'm with you. Give me the Suns. Give me Brooklyn tonight as well. I think they take a 2-0 series lead. If they don't, this series becomes really interesting if Milwaukee steals home court and the status of James Harden is up in the air. It changes things. And we saw in the Lakers-Suns series, one injury can change an entire series. We saw it twice in that series. Chris Paul going down, and then we saw it with AD.
Yeah, Lakers up 2-1. Game 4 up 11. AD goes down with the groin. That's it. That's a wrap. Once AD went down, that was a wrap.
And I think that Philly and Milwaukee are too good for Brooklyn to not have James Harden over the course of a seven-game set.
Yeah, game one was a fluke for Atlanta winning that game. They almost blew it. Philadelphia is going to take... They'll take out Atlanta in probably six.
Probably, maybe even five. I mean, when you look at those types of series, things... How do I say this? You can tell by looking at the outcome of a game and saying, okay, that was odd, right, the way it went. You mentioned that Atlanta nearly blew that lead.
I mean, they were horrible down the stretch, up 26 points. Philadelphia actually had a chance to either tie or win that game. It was a one-possession game, and they just couldn't dig out of the hole. So I expect Philadelphia to take care of business, and like you said, five or six at the most.
You can tell. I mean, it's similar to Memphis and Utah. You see weird things happen in one game, and that's why the NBA is a best of seven. So six, yeah, maybe even it's likely it goes in five. Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Busker. Ready? Be safe. We are out.